Dennis, I didn't ask you to lead that song, but I had it in my notes, so that's one page.
So you put that down there?
That's gone.
Wow.
We're in the book of Colossians on Sunday evenings and just got started a couple of weeks ago. We read the book in its entirety on one, then just got started a couple of weeks ago with chapter 1 and the opening verses, just 1 through 8. And so in your notes, I just put a quick review. You know, there were some things that Paul writes in verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it. So Paul reminded them of five things that he'd heard in those opening verses. We've heard about your faith in Christ Jesus. We've heard about your love for all the saints and your hope, and that you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We heard about you bringing forth fruit, and we heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So Paul reminded them, this is what we, in the opening of his letter, the brethren, because he's writing from Rome, he says, you know, brethren, I've heard some good things about you. I always wonder when I look at those opening verses, if people who have worshipped with us have moved away, if they were to write a letter back to us, what would they say? You know what I remember about the congregation there? What would they say? Would they speak about our faith in Christ, our love for all the saints, the hope that lies within us? I would hope they would say something along that line of back to us, gives us some of those encouraging words. And so then in verse 3, Paul also said, I'm still praying for you. And he says that a couple times in the letter. So in verse 9, our opening verse for tonight, he says, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask. Put a note in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. They're one of my favorite verses. I call it the four alls of prayer. So I highlighted the word all in your notes. The word all four times. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, all kinds of prayer. Prayer of intercession or thanksgiving or request. Just all kinds of prayer. Paul says, I'm praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, always in all prayer and all perseverance for all the saints. So we need to pray. And that's what the lesson is this evening. Just in verses 9 through 14. I put almost the entire verses or this section in your notes, so I'm not going to read the five or six verses first. So let's take each one in turn. So Paul, this is Paul's prayer request. He says in verse 9 that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I wonder if Paul is praying while he's writing. If he has the thought, if I'm writing this down, but it's on my mind, obviously, while I'm writing. You know, you don't have to assume a posture for prayer every time you pray when you're on your own. We do when we're an assembly like this, and typically one who leads in prayer for an assembly will guide us or say, let's all bow in prayer. Or, you know, we teach our children, and, you know, once you fold your hands and close your eyes, it's typically to keep the outside influences or noise or distractions away from us. So let's do those things that will keep us focused. But, you know, when I'm down here at the building by myself, and every time I go back and look at the mail, and I'm walking through the building, the auditorium, I think, oh, there's somebody I want to have God remember them. While I'm walking, I'm talking. And I don't assume a position. I don't even say at the end of my thoughts, in Jesus' name, amen. I just walk and talk and call your names. One of the most odd situations or awkward, when it first took place, my brother and sister-in-law were out to eat at a restaurant. And my brother Rod was going to say the prayer before the meal. But instead of just bowing, he just started talking while he's rearranging things on the table. I thought it caught me by surprise. But he was just talking in, God, we thank you for this. And he grabbed the envelope, and we thank you for the meal we're about to receive. And we pray for blessings from above. And even about the time the waitress or the server came and did something at the table lift, and he just stopped and let her person do their thing, and then he just picked right up where he left off. And we're so thankful for this little gathering, and in Jesus' name, amen. He just prayed before we ate. So when he did that the second time, I was okay, I'm on to this. But it's okay to walk and talk. You know, when you're by yourself, when you're driving. Please don't close your eyes and pull your hands. You know, and I mentioned, Paul mentioned, how many things I list here? Six things in his prayer, in our text tonight. You know, prayer can be different lengths for different occasions. You know, when Peter prayed, when he was walking on the water to meet Jesus, very short prayer, just three words. Lord, save me. Get right to the point. He didn't thank God for the day and give a safe journey. You know, I'm sinking. Lord, save me. Get right to the point. And we do that in the assembly. You know, when it's time to, Jim, when he typically give announcement, opening prayer, Lord, help us to leave the distractions to the side and focus on you as an assembly giving our worship to God. Our prayer, different kinds of prayer. But one thing just occurred to me. When I was a young preacher, I started in Blythe to preach for them, and there was a religious group around the corner, a couple blocks away, the Four Square Gospel people. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go to their revival. They were having one. And the one person who was leading was up there. He says, "All right, let's all of us pray." And all of them prayed right in the pews. Everyone started praying out loud. And then after a few minutes, then the person at the pulpit says, and it kind of made his a little enough, and now we close our prayer with, you know, giving you praise and glory, amen. And they all stopped. Sometimes it worries me when my brethren say, let's all pray together. What if there's somebody in the assembly that is of that persuasion? So they just start praying out loud too. I don't know what I would do, but I sometimes wonder. So Paul went back to this. Paul says in verse 9, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All knowledge. I keyed on Psalm 119. Verse 7, I'll praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn of your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. So when we pray, there's something that we could put in our prayers for sure. You know, when we're leading in prayer, God, we pray for knowledge of your word. We pray for knowledge. In verse 9, these are all from Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Teach me. So when we pray, certainly I would want to include this one in prayer. Bless us as we study your word. Bless us with knowledge. Knowledge. Yep. Another one he had was wisdom. You know, knowledge doesn't always translate into wisdom. I remember a story. Guy said, you know, my brother-in-law is a pretty clever guy. But one day my brother-in-law started a bath for his young son, and he couldn't get the water to turn off. So in a panic, he said he called a plumber friend and asked him to come quickly or his house is going to flood. His friend said, well, I can be there as soon as I can, but before I get there, couldn't you just pull the plug? Yeah, my house is going to flood. I'll just pull the wisdom, knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So first thing Paul is praying for when he says, I unceasingly pray for you, brethren, that you be filled with knowledge of his will in wisdom, spiritual understanding. Well, back in Psalm 119 again, verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts. God, pray in our, that in our Bible class this morning we'll gain the knowledge of your word. But give me, give us understanding. Understanding. So shall I meditate on your precepts. Verse 14, give me understanding. I'll keep your law. Indeed, I'll observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding too. Yeah. Spiritual understanding. So that's a prayer. Number two, Paul says in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Oh, walk worthy? Well, that's a, Paul uses that phrase a couple times. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you're called. And then he begins to explain what that walk looks like. In Philippians 1, verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. So there's a way in which we walk. So in our prayers, God, give me knowledge, give me wisdom, give me understanding to walk in a worthy way. To walk correctly according to your will. And then the phrase, fully please, Paul said, fully pleasing him. That's my prayer for you, that you'll do this. You know, we already include in our prayers phrases like, God, we pray that we'll present ourselves before you in a manner acceptable to you. I've heard us lead in prayer and we'll say, God, we want to do things that please you. Another phrase, we want to present ourselves in worship according to your will or your word. Yeah, so we do that. And that's what Paul is saying when he writes to them, my brethren, I'm unceasingly praying for you that you be filled with that knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding, and I'm praying that you'll walk worthy of the calling that's for us. We want to do it in a way that pleases God. Number three, in verse 10, and he says it in his prayer, I pray that you'll be fruitful in every good work. Fruitful, yeah. In all our good works. We want to do our work, our ministry, our benevolence, our stewardship in such a manner that it brings forth fruit. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Oh. Then he continues, and without me, you can do nothing. In verse 8, he says, by this shall my Father be glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. Oh, a badge of discipleship is that we exhibit that fruit of the Spirit in all of our good works. Our kindness, our benevolence, our missions, whatever it is. We want to be sure that we display or demonstrate a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, I put in your notes for the reference. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Include that in your works or ministries. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. There's no law to do that. Number four, he says, and now after we've mentioned, I want you to have knowledge. Now he said, but now increase. That is my prayer for you. The admonition, the exhortation is, don't be satisfied with current knowledge. Second Peter 1, verse 2, grace, Paul said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Multiply it. In 2 Peter 3, verse 17, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, we pray that give us knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding and help us in our worthy walk. And we pray that we do things that are pleasing to you. And we pray that in all of our good works, we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and increase our knowledge as we study. Well, there's a prayer list, isn't it? In number 5, in verse 11, Paul prays that you'll be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience. And they begin each day with just a simple phrase. As I'm walking through the house, God, I need you again today. I need you again. In Ephesians 6, and you'll recognize this verse concerning the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Where's your strength? I'll do what I can, but I want to ask God for help too. Add to my strength. God, I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye might be, and here's the ability, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take up, though, in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Stand and withstand, God. I want to be strengthened by your power. Glorious power in the text. Oh, and I had that other song. You know, hymn number 800, what a friend we have in Jesus. Temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find the friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's this verse. Paul says, I want you to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with patience and longsuffering. 6, and then give thanks. Y'all can't leave that out. Give thanks. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us, and that means that because we are his child, we've been born again into his family. We've obeyed that gospel message. So now we're qualified in verse 12 to be partakers of the inheritance. We are now been delivered from the power of darkness. It's in the verse. We've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So out of darkness into light. That's what we've been conveyed. Out of one thing and into another. And in whom we have redemption through his blood. And Dennis, I was going to read the words to redeem, but we just sang it. Have redemption. You see the list of things that Paul says, what am I going to thank God for? Oh, my inheritance? My deliverance? I'm in the kingdom? Redemption? And then the last phrase in verse 14 is the forgiveness of sins. So much to be thankful for. So when we pray, and in your prayers for the congregation, you know, take something like this. God, I'm praying that we have knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God, I want that for the congregation. I want us to walk worthy. I want to, in our worthy walk, I want to please you. Present ourselves before you in a way that's acceptable to you. God, in all of our good works, I want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in all that we do. And I want peace in knowledge. First, he says, I want you to be filled with knowledge, but filled increase in knowledge. Peace, I want us to be strengthened with might according to his glorious power. I pray for that for the congregation. And then I want to thank you, God. Thank you. For the inheritance, and these are all in the verse, for deliverance, for the entrance into the kingdom, for redemption and forgiveness of sins. Thank you. Thank you. So we'll continue chapter 1, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. And hopefully there'll be, I pray it'll be beneficial in all ways, all areas.
Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. I always add the words, a song of exhortation, a song of invitation. We use that song for several reasons or purposes. Maybe one here this evening or more that has been studying or has heard the gospel message and want to desire to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins. You have that opportunity at any time. But while we're here, while brethren are here to rejoice with you in your decision, to give you encouraging words, we sing a song of encouragement, invitation, exhortation. So the simple gospel message, God so loved the world, he gave a son. Listen to that. Hear it. And then believe it. You know, without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So I've heard that good news message, and I believe it. Well, then Jesus also said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or perish. I don't want to perish. And then I want to make my confession of what I believe. What I believe. And that's what Philip, the Ethiopian, did when Philip preached to him Jesus. He said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He made a statement of belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Immediately, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. He came up out of the water, and you hear me say, salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. And the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, exhortation. So let's stand together. We'll sing the call to come this evening. Just simply come and have a seat while we're singing this song and let it be known.